So about 5 years ago, two very good friends got together to connect, to celebrate, to share. One of them was traveling from South Africa. His health was not great, and he traveled all the way from there to the mountains of India. Their meeting was not just for the two of them to enjoy, though. It was for the benefit of all of us. Because these two friends are elder brothers and spiritual leaders and Nobel Peace Prize laureates, you might have guessed already who they are, Archbishop Desmond Tutu and His Holiness the Dalai Lama. When these two came together, and you think about all that they have endured, if you know a little bit of their stories and their country's stories and their people's stories that they lead, that they have endured exile and oppression, respectively. And still, they are some of the most joyful men I have ever seen. They really exude a sense of joyfulness despite the suffering. So let's take a look at this picture and you'll get a sense of what I mean. There they are with Desmond Tutu, trying to get the Dalai Lama to dance a little bit. Definitely Desmond Tutu looks like he's accustomed to dancing. But I love that picture. It always brings me a lot of joy to see the two of them together. These really, you know, we think of our spiritual leaders sometimes very seriously, right? So to see them just enjoying and really showing us how the walk of spirituality is actually a walk of joy. Ultimately, that's where we head. So during this 5-day gathering that they had during, it was the Dalai Lama's 80th birthday that they were coming together around, they talked about joy, the nature of joy, the obstacles of joy, and the 8 pillars, the spiritual supports that lead us into joy, that allow us to unleash that joy that resides within us. So today we begin our series, our 8-week fall series, with the first pillar. It's called perspective. Now, if anyone can help us through these difficult times, I think it's these two spiritual giants. And so we'll draw a little bit from their wisdom and their stories and certainly their 8 pillars. And I'll fill in, of course, as I feel guided along the way. When you think of these two, they represent Buddhism and Christianity and then so much more beyond that because they both have an inclusive view of spirituality and faith. And so too do we in unity, hence our namesake, right? And modeling that they do as divine human beings to show us how to move through difficult times feels so right on for where we are right now, to show us how to be bringers of joy, serious bringers of joy. So today, as we move into perspective, I want to encourage us to see how perspective can be shifting perspectives, can be fun and easy. It can be as easy as moving physically to see things from another view, and that allows a mental imprint to happen for us. I think of the movie Dead Poets Society. Remember Mr. Keating? He's the English teacher played by Robin Williams, if you saw the movie. And basically, he's in a all-boys boarding school. It's a fictional school called Welton. The boys are high school age. And he's a really exuberant, engaging teacher. At one point, he jumps up on top of his desk, and he says, "Why am I standing on top of my desk?" And the boys are a little bit mystified, you know. And he said, "I stand on my desk to remind myself to constantly look at things from another point of view." And then he invites each of the boys to get up on the desk and look around. Don't just get up there and drop down. Stand and look around and see how you can see things differently. This teacher was, of course, not just teaching English. He was teaching the fulfillment of life, the pathway to life, to open up our perspective, to see our choices, to feel into all the possibilities that are there for us, to find our authentic voice, and to listen to others as well. All of that comes with a slight shift in perception, or a big shift in perception. So just as we concern ourselves with building immunity, a lot of people are talking about that right now during this pandemic, right? How do we build our physical immunity as a collective and individually? And we often think about that. How do we build our immunity, stay healthy, prevent any disease from coming our way? Well, physically, we put a lot of emphasis on that. But what about mentally? How do we build our mental immunity so that dis-ease is something that we can deal with if it comes our way? And a key way is by the ability and the habit of shifting perspective, of allowing ourselves to see things from a wider view, a longer view, a deeper view, any angle that is possible. In fact, the Dalai Lama suggests that we look at any given situation from six angles. He says, look at it from the bottom and the top, the sides. He says, look at it from the back and the front. And when we look at it in this way, in all these different angles, then the view of reality that we have begins to become bigger, and our response is more constructive. That was a big paraphrase, but it was basically that idea of the six angles. And so I'm going to focus on two views that I think are really key for us to hone in on. One is the expansive view. So in the expansive view, we take a wider look and we take a longer look. And in a deeper view, and in the deeper view, we pay attention to the details. We go deep, and including within. So let's unpack those a little bit more, those different views that will help us open up to greater joy. Our default position tends to be the self-centered view. The Dalai Lama talks about this in the Book of Joy. By the way, the 5 days that they spent together were recorded in a book called the Book of Joy. And the subtitle is, I think, I don't want to misquote it, so let me take a look at my notes here, Lasting Happiness in a Changing World. And it was recorded along with Douglas Abrams. So in that time together and that recording of that time together, the Dalai Lama talks about how our default perspective is a self-centered one. And so it is from that default perspective that we tend to see and think that our vision is correct, right? We all know how that is when we get into sparring with one another and we think we're right, or that, we've got the right view or the right memory of the situation. But we must open up and recognize that we all bring a diverse angle, a diverse background. And this is part of the richness of the expansive view, the deeper view as well. When the world gets bigger, gets more interesting, really, when we go wide with our view, when we open it up into the wide angle. Think about the astronauts who report that when they glimpsed the Earth for the first time from that overview effect of our Earth home, that they never had the same view again. They didn't see their personal interests or our national interests in the same way ever again. Because in that view, they see the tiny, precious, beautiful ball that is our planet. And they see it in the realm of the whole cosmos. They see how small we are in a way, but how beautiful. And you can't see the national boundaries. It's just land masses, right? An ocean, and it's gorgeous, and it's misty, and it's got this sense, this shroudedness of mystic beauty to it. And so when we can back up enough away from those boundaries and those borders, we see things from a whole different viewpoint. And we too, we don't have to go to space to enjoy that. We too, I mean, there's some beautiful photographs that have been taken that you can meditate upon, contemplate those beautiful photographs of the Earth and just really begin to widen the view of who we are and where is home for us. You can also, of course, close your eyes and in your mind's eye, just envision this beautiful blue planet and see it in all of its oneness, see it in its thriving as we vision in our unity vision, in our Unity of Walnut Creek vision. So in the same way, given any given situation that you might be in life, you can move back a little. You know, get the wider view. Step back. Open your eyes to the peripheral view. Someone told me recently that our constant, I think it was Alexandra, said that our constant look at computers and devices is causing our peripheral view to actually not be as good as it used to be. So opening up, doing exercises that open us up, and this is a mental exercise to open up our perspective, to expand ourselves as we do so. In the same way that we go wide and see a new every situation in a new perspective, we allow that consciousness to open up for us, to evolve before our eyes. Even if we aren't able to see the immediate results of that, we can begin to feel that sense of openness and expansiveness that happens in our bodies as our minds relax. When we move away from the problem or the situation, it doesn't feel as painful. If we have a painful situation and we go, okay, I'm going to step back a little bit, and we give it a little bit of space, a little bit of breath, it shifts everything. We all know this from experience. It's just that we forget sometimes in everyday practice. So let this be our reminder to shift more often, to get in the habit of shifting more often. The wider view is also an inclusive view. It's purposely, but when we purposely take the wider view, it naturally includes more perspective, more people, more into the situation, more into the viewing, more into our mind. It allows things to move from that self-centered default position into a more neutral place where we can kind of witness the scene, take ourselves out for a minute and see it maybe from a bird's eye view or a God's eye view, you know, that bigger picture, that overview idea. In that larger context, we sometimes will get an awakening how limited our perspective has been. How small and constricted it has been to think we are right, that we have the right way, that people who think like us have the right way. And we get caught in that ideological clash so much in our world right now. Jesus implored us to take the log out of our own eye rather than worry about the speck in our neighbor's eye. So if you find yourself really focused on the speck in your neighbor's eye, take a moment to say, what can I do to shift my own perspective, to take out the judgment in my own eye so I can see more clearly, more fully, more truly? And it's understandable. You know, we have been given a lot of falsehoods through our political leaders and misleading information and confusing information. And so it's frustrating for a lot of people right now because we don't have a place to rely on, but we do. We rely within. We rely on each other. We rely on the people. I think there's a great silver lining in this whole era of recognizing that a lot of the things that we just swallowed as full truth in the past, we've recognized, some of that naivety has fallen away and greater maturity has come into our intellectual evolution and our spiritual evolution. We have begun as people to trust our instincts more, to trust our intuition more and our own guidance more, not to just take wholesale something as truth. And it's not to make us suspicious or paranoid in any way. That's not the direction we want to go, but rather to look at the gifts that come when life unveils them in such a way. When the shadows are revealed, we have seen what good comes from that, as we have begun to see all the inequities in our society that some of us were at least partially blind to because we believed, we trusted authorities. And I'm not saying we shouldn't trust authorities, but the main authority, the highest authority is here, right? Is the authority within ourselves. So this process, this collective process, is a process of expanding our perspective so that we can grow spiritually. And we are, and we do. That's the good news. That's the silver lining. inclusive views also allow us, well, it becomes more interesting, right? The view becomes bigger. It becomes, when we are inclusive of others, it becomes more intriguing when we hear different perspectives and we look from different angles. It's also true of an inclusive view actually makes us happier. There have been studies, one by researcher Johannes Zimmermann, that says she found that people who use the terms I and me and mine more often experience depression than people who use the terms we and us and ours. So we and us and ours, those wider inclusive perspectives, actually bring us more happiness, hence this pillar of joy. So as we move together, as we think about that wider perspective being an inclusive one, we walk together. Let's keep on walking with Jamie Lula. Take a little break and listen to this song.
Walk a mile or a minute in another man's shoes. He's got a path to take to find his truth. Any way you spin it, he's a lot like you. Finding his faith on roads that you'd never choose. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. Tell a tale you're in it, hear a brother man's blues. Got a destination now and no excuse. Why do you condemn it when it's not your own? You can't unsee it once the light has shone. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. And brother always. One foot in front of the other, hand in hand, one with the other. Walk with your sister and brother always. One foot in front of the other, hand in hand, one with another. Walk with your sister and brother always. One more time. One foot in front of the other, hand in hand, one with another. Walk with your sister and brother always. Oh, don't let it cloud your vision. Love be your only mission always. Let go of the old condition. Let love be your only mission always. Don't always keep on walking. Other hand in hand, one with another, walk with your sister and brother always. One foot in front of the other, hand in hand, one with another, walk with your sister and brother always. One foot in front of the other, hand in hand, one with another, walk with your sister and brother always.
All right. Well, thanks to Jamie Lula for that song to remind us of walking hand in hand with one another. You know, when we collaborate, when we come together, we are better problem solvers. I'm sure we've all had experiences of that. When we work in teams, when we allow the various perspectives to be heard, what we co-create together is better, is richer, is deeper, is more effective. It's like the proverbial elephant, you know, that if we're so close in, sometimes we can't see the whole picture. We don't even know what we're looking at. One person is standing right next to the foot of the elephant and they say, oh, it's a tree. And somebody standing in the back and says, sees the ropey tail and says, oh, it's a rope. And somebody else is standing by the ear and says, oh, it's a leaf, you know. And it's not until we begin to share those perspectives that we are able to put it all together. Oh, it's not a foot, it's not a tree, it's a foot. It's not a rope, it's a tail, it's not a leaf, it's an ear. Oh my gosh, it's an elephant. And we can all see that together. It's based on that ancient proverb of the five blind men that are feeling their way around the elephant, not knowing what they're seeing and experiencing. But when we are then that close in view, it's kind of like that. Until we begin sharing those different angles, then we can solve our problems together or even recognize what we're looking at together in a bigger way, in a more understandable way. With the expansive view, we also go long. So if we expand out from this moment and we're going through a challenge and we say, well, how will that be in a day? Or how will that be in a week or a month or a year or a decade from now? Suddenly we recognize that, well, it's not such a big issue. It might not even be a memory anymore if we go far enough out. And it can become more manageable when we expand that timeline for ourselves a little bit. That long view really helps us see. As my first yoga teacher once said, you know, if we're infinite beings, what's the hurry? And it's always helped me sort of put it in that perspective, you know, when we get into that place of urgent evolution or urgent problem solving or whatever it is, to go, okay, let's just breathe into this and recognize and look with the long view, the infinite view. And in that view, we tend to move into vision, right? When we have the long view, we are able to vision into the future, look to the horizon and see what we are moving into. Just like we spoke of Unity of Walnut Creek's vision today, you know, that vision that we hold, we envision a world that is spiritually awakened. We envision a world where all life thrives in conscious oneness. In that kind of world that we hold, you can hold that vision, you know, we can hold it individually. We can speak that vision and write it out and post it in our, you know, cars and in our homes and in our offices, or write your own. And have that be the thing that it lifts up our eyes, but also when it does that, it lifts up our hearts. It lifts up our hearts into that faith-filled journey, into that hopeful journey of where we are headed, what it is that we see in our future in that long view. And there's also the long view that looks at impact. This is very much in the wisdom of the Native Americans, who say, look 7 generations out at your impact. And so we consider then the impact of our actions from a long view, not from just, you know, this moment's gratification or this moment's use. it allows us to move from that consumer society, really, to begin to think, when we think about seven generations out, the future of our planet, the future of people, the future of life, we might think twice about purchasing that thing that we're purchasing, or discarding that thing we just purchased, or what we invest in, or how we treat people. Recognizing the impact that that has, even the feelings we hold, the prayers we speak, the ways that we move about the world, all of that has that ripple effect, that long-term impact. And so what we do in the short term, in the moment, makes a difference when we think especially about the long view. And then, of course, there's the deep view. So we've gone to the expansive view, the view of the wide, going wide and going long. But now we go deep. And when we go deep, we get into the details, the beauty, the patterns, the magnificence of the universe that you can find, you know, embedded in a flower or a very simple pattern. The poets tell us about this so well. Like Mary Oliver, for example, who's this great observer of nature. And her poetry really exposes that singleness, that ability to unpack the magnificence in the details around us, to stop and smell the flowers and more, to really pay attention to the universes within the specifics. She says to us, not just any grasshopper, not just this grasshopper, or not just all grasshoppers, but this one specifically, this one who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, this one whose eyes are enormous and complicated, this particular grasshopper, the one that she's speaking of that's eating sugar out of her hand, she says, lifting her pale arms now to thoroughly wash her face. That kind of paying attention brings us into the deeper view, which, interestingly enough, leads into the expansive view. The two are sort of interrelated, really, these different ways of looking, these different perspectives that we take on. But by slowing down, by having these kinds of observations, these careful observations, it can open us up to joy, to awe, to wonder. And that is one of the ways that brings us squarely in the here and now, the infinite presence. You know, recently I got some news in my family that my mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, with an early stage of that. And the night I received the news, I just sobbed through the night, you know, and my thoughts were things like, you know, what will come and feels like the beginning of the end and just grief, you know, just a sense of loss and grief over that. And that while I still feel sadness, as you probably can hear as I speak about it, I've also been shifting perspectives, you know, and we have been talking a lot more, and that has also created a sense of connection and deeper connection in talking about these very real issues. And taking the long view together to look at where does she want to live, and how can my sisters and I best care for her? And also taking the immediate view, all is well here and now for the most part. And so, you know, feeling the preciousness of the now and the connection and the relationship that we have. When we have that, when we develop that nimbleness, that flexibility to say, okay, now what's needed is the deep view, the immediate view, the moment to open our hearts and to feel what is present here and to be really present. And now what's needed is a little bit of planning and a long view. And so if we can trust ourselves to, because we always have the right direction inside of us, that wisdom, that innate wisdom is inside of us. And so it will nudge us one way or another. Let's move to the long view for a minute. Okay, let's move to the wide view. Let's put it all in perspective. We've had our mom for 84 going on 85 years, you know, to be really close in our lives, and she may, who knows, live another 10 or 20 years. So there's always a different way for us to open things up, I guess is my point. And when we do, there is joy. There is joy. Looking is a big part of it, right? Taking a perspective. We don't want to close ourselves off and hide and numb out. That certainly isn't going to lead us to joy. Those things lead us to deeper pain. And so it is the looking that is even a part of the walk of perspective toward the window and through the window of joy. So the God's eye view is important, right? That view that says, you know, like in our situation, my mom is healthy and whole, that we see the truth. We hold that vision of truth. And so you hold that for yourselves, for others, whatever it is, that affirmative truth that we know is the divine view, the view that we see through spiritual eyes. That is a really important one to keep returning to over and over again to give us that sense of the absolute view and to buoy up our spiritual walk. And then also to, of course, drop in frequently to the divine within, to look within, to open ourselves up to the deeper view that is inside of us, that wisdom that we spoke of. It's the surest and swiftest way, really, to shift perspectives, because when we drop in, we begin to feel the presence, we begin to feel the power, we begin to feel the peace, and all those things open us up a little bit more, relax us a little bit more, allow us, just when we open our eyes after meditation, you know, things look different. Things look brighter, maybe. Things look more peaceful. And so that is an important thing to keep the outlook on any situation. Jinpa, who is a colleague and a friend of the Dalai Lama's, says this. He's a monk. Changing emotions is hard, but changing perspectives, he said, is actually quite easy. It's the skull key, he says, that opens the locks to all that imprisons our happiness. Perspective is the skull key that opens up all the locks that imprisons our happiness. So this pillar is so important. We have the capacity to be both the poet who sees the deep detail and patterns and beauty and wonder and awe of the universe that takes us to joy through that direction. And we have the ability to be the visionary who sees the wider and the longer view, who opens things up and lifts up ourselves and our hearts and feels inspired by that vision that we hold from that view. We can deepen our connections in joy, in the here and now. And we can also know 7 generations out that whatever it is that we choose in the here and now, we'll go out into that long view, will have an impact, a reverberation and a ripple long after even our physical presence is gone. So let's use both of these perspectives freely and fully, because as we do, we'll experience more joy. As we do, we open up that window of joy, that wider and deeper perspective serves us well. As we close out, let's know this together, let's affirm it together, let's work with this together throughout the week. If you, we're going to keep the affirmation up a little longer. We've gotten some feedback. People want to see those. And if you don't have time to write it down, you know, always take a picture of the screen and you can keep that with you and work with it throughout the week. So let's close out with this affirmation together. As I widen and deepen my perspectives, I open the window of joy. And so it is. Bless you. Have a wonderful week of new perspective.